الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading in the chapter الحجاب الحجاب وغض البصر the chapter of the hijab and lowering the gaze meaning the legislation of this affair and the obligation of establishing these rights the hijab and the proper Islamic covering for the woman and likewise lowering the gaze. We have come to what the author she mentioned from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَقَالَ تَعَالَى يَا بَنِي آدَمْ قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. She mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to this issue and the meaning of which is, O children of Adam, Ya Bani Adam, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا. We have bestowed your raiment, meaning your garments, upon you to cover yourself, meaning to screen your private parts, and as an adornment, and as an adornment. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. And the garment, the garment of righteousness and piety, that of a taqwa, this is better. And then Allah, He mentions, ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Such are among the ayat, meaning the proofs and evidences, and the verses and signs, and the lessons and the revelation, the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that they may remember, meaning so that they may take admonition, and fear Allah Azza wa Jal, and leave all falsehood and the foul and lowly way, and follow the truth and the good, an upright path, and the good and upright path. Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا. Indeed, we have sent down for you, we have bestowed upon you your raiment, meaning your garments, garments that you wear. يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ, in order for you to cover your private parts. وَرِيشًا, and also as an adornment. So from the aspects of the garments that the people they wear, there is a garment that is used to cover the private parts, to cover the awrah. Yuwari sawatikum, and then also after that, on top of that, there's another aspect of the garments that the people they wear, and that is as an adornment and a means of beautification, and a means of a beautification. And the second one is an amount greater than the first one. The first one is the amount that would cover the private parts, and as for the second aspect, warisha, then this is as a means of adornment and beautification, a means of adornment and beautification. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the awrat, any of those private parts, as the sawat. So, or the awrah is known as the sawat, and this is from the word su', and su' is something that is not good, rather it's something that is bad. And the awra is called the sawa, لأنه يسوء من انكشفت له عورته, because the person whom his awra becomes uncovered, it makes him feel bad and shameful. So for this reason, it's called the sawa, because if it becomes revealed and exposed, then it makes a person feel shameful and bad, and it's not good, nor is it nice for that to be shown. So this is the issue of the awra, or the so'a, from the blessing and the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal upon the children of Adam, is that He has bestowed upon them raiment and garments that they cover their shameful parts with, and likewise other garments as well, as a means of adornment and beautification for them. And this is from the blessing of Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified that the greatest, the most virtuous garment that one can bear and wear, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ, in the garment of piety, of sincere and true faith, and establishing the religion inwardly and outwardly, with sincere belief and faith in the heart, and clarified and a proof and evidence for that in the application of that faith, which is seen on the body parts, and from that is covering that which is shameful to be seen, and that which the legislation has declared and ordained an obligation to be covered. And the issue that we're discussing now is that of the woman. and she in entirety, as has proceeded from the evidences that we discussed in our previous classes, is an awra, her entire body. So therefore it should be covered, and it's shameful that it should be seen from those who do not have no right to see, for those who do not have no right to see it. So we continue reading what the author she mentioned, حفظها الله تعالى, and she says, وقال الإمام البخاري حدثنا يحيى بن سليمان قال حدثنا ابن وهب قال أخبرني يونس قال أخبرني يونس عن ابن شهاب أنه قال أخبرني أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أنه كان ابن 10 سنين مقدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة. So the author now, she mentions the narration of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in mentioning with his chain that Yahya ibn Sulayman narrated to him that Ibn Wahab, yani Abdullah ibn Wahab, narrated to him that Yunus, wallahu a'lam, ibn Yazid al-Ayli, narrated to him that Ibn Shihab, yani Muhammad ibn Shihab, narrated to him Az-Zuhri, that Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu informed him that he was 10 years old whenever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Al-Madinah. That he was 10 years old, Anas ibn Malik. He's informing Muhammad ibn Shihab Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah, from the great scholars of hadith who died in the year 124. He's saying that Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informed him that he was 10 years old. مَقْدَمَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Madinata. That whenever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he arrived in al-Madinah. He says, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَخَدِمْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عَشْرًا حَيَاتَهُ. He said, and I served the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 10 years, his entire life. Any meaning his entire life in Medina, from the time he arrived until the time he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, وَكُنْتُ أَعْلَمَ النَّاسِ بِشَأْنِ الْحِجَابِ حِينَ أُمْزِلَ. And I am the most knowledgeable of the people with regards to the affair of the hijab whenever it was revealed. Whenever it was revealed. And he's mentioning this affair, the fact that he was the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the entire time he was in Medina. And that began for him at the age of 10. And it's known that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent 10 years in Al-Madinah. So those 10 years, Anas ibn Malik, he spent beside the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his service, and looking after his affair and taking care of him and his needs, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would be in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam around his family in many circumstances that others would not be. In many circumstances that others would not be, because of the fact that he's young, and likewise because of the fact that he is the servant of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would serve him while he is a resident in his home, and likewise whenever he is traveling, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for this reason he's saying, كُنْتُ عَلَمَ النَّاسِ بِشَأْنِ الْحِجَابِ حِينَ أُنزِلَ. I'm the most knowledgeable of the people with regards to the affair of the hijab whenever it was revealed. And there's a point here to notice that the author, she will indicate, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, we read today, that he says, I'm the most knowledgeable of the people with regards to the hijab, حِينَ أُنزِلَ, whenever it was revealed. So this is a legislation that was revealed. This is a legislation, the legislation of the hijab, شأن حجاب, شأن أنزل من عند رب العالمين, is an affair that was revealed from the Lord of the worlds. So pay attention, my noble sister. This is not a custom or a culture or an everyday affair that one she will do in order to please the people or to get along with the society or make someone from the creation happy. Rather, this is something that has been revealed from the heavens, from the Lord of the world, that's pleasing to him, subhanah, and a means to draw near to him, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And a means to draw near to him, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says, وَقَدْ كَانَ أُبَيْ ibn كَعْبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يَسْأَلُنِي عَنْهُ. And Ubay ibn Ka'b, he used to ask me about the hijab. We know the status of Ubay radiallahu anhu, from the greatest reciters and memorizers of the Quran, from the Ansar radiallahu anhu. And he used to ask Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu about the affair of the hijab. He says, وَكَانَ أَوَّلُ مَا أُنَّزَلَ فِي مُبْتَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ بِزَيْنَبَ بِنْتِ جَحْشٍ وَكَانَ أَوَّلُ مَا نَزَلَ في مبتنى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بزينب بنت جحش رضي الله عنها. Beginning of what was revealed about the hijab was whenever the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he consummated the marriage with Zainab بنت جحش رضي الله عنها. أصبح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بها عروسا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he married her. And likewise, he had a walima for this marriage. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَدَعَ الْقَوْمَ فَأَصَابُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ. And he called the people. He called the people and he invited the people, meaning to the walima, for his marriage and consummation with Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha. So they came and they ate from the food. ثُمَّ خَرَجُوا. And then they left. وَبَقِيَ مِنْهُمْ رَحْطٌ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. And a small group of them remained in the home with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَأَطَالُوا الْمُكْثَ. And they remained for some time. So the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he married Zainab. Whenever he married Zainab, he had a walima صلى الله عليه وسلم for his marriage. And he invited his companions to come to eat from the food that is prepared and being served. So a number of them, they came and they ate. And then after they finished eating, they got up and they left. And a few of them, a small number of them, remained until they remained for some time. فَقَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ فَخَرَجَا وَخَرَجْتُ مَعُهُ كَيْ يَخْرُجُوا. So Anas, he says now, radiallahu anhu, that at this time, whenever these people, they're remaining for some time in the home, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he got up and he went out. He says, and I got up and went out with him likewise, in order for them to leave. And Anas is realizing the affair. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is hoping now to be alone in his family or in his home without any guests. But some of the guests, they remain for some time. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from his noble manners, he was shy to tell them to leave, although he's hoping that they would leave. So whenever they remained enjoying the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for some time, the small group, now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he got up and he left. And Anas is along with him, and he got up and he left likewise. Anas, he says, كَيْ يَخْرُجُوا, that we got up and we left, yani in order for them to get up and leave, yani so that they would realize that it's time for them to go. فَمَشَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَمَشَيْتُ مَعَهُ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he walked for some time and I walked along with him. حَتَّى جَاءَ عُتْبَةَ حُجْرَةِ عَائِشَةَ. Until he came all the way to the doorstep of the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. ثُمَّ ظَنَّ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنهم خرجوا. Until the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he thought that those guests had left. فرجع فرجعت معه. And as he says, so that he returned and I returned along with him. حتى دخل على زينب فإذا هم جلوس لم يتفرقوا. Until he came up and entered upon Zainab, yani in the home رضي الله عنها, and those people, they're still sitting there and they did not leave yet. فرجع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فرجعت معه. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he returned out and I returned along with him. حتى بلغ عتبة حجرة عائشة فظن أن قد خرجوا فرجع فرجعت معه. He left out again until he reached the doorstep of Aisha, of the room of Aisha radiallahu anha, and then he thought that they had left, so he returned. And then as he says, وَرَجَعْتُ مَعَهُ, and I returned along with him. فَإِذَا هُمْ قَدْ خَرَجُوا. So this time they had left. Whenever we returned, they had left. And as he says radiallahu anhu, which is the shahid for our discussion, فَأُنْزِلَ آيَةُ الْحِجَابِ فَضَرَبَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ سِطْرًا. فَأُنْزِلَ آيَةُ الْحِجَابِ فَضَرَبَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ سِطْرًا. And at this time, the verse of the hijab was revealed, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he set up between me and him a curtain, yani blocking the view of Anas from his family, yani from the women of his household. So this is an evidence for the affair of the hijab that we're discussing. And a great point here to observe that this is something that was revealed and legislated, and something that is ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a custom nor a culture, rather it's deen. It's deen, ibadah. تتقرب المرأة المسلمة إلى ربها بحجابها. A woman, a Muslim woman, she will draw near to Allah and seek His pleasure by wearing the proper hijab. But even in that legislation, and striving against her soul to implement that, hoping for the reward of her Lord. قال الترمذي وقال الترمذي حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا عمر بن عاصم قال حدثنا همام عن قتادة عن مورق عن أبي الأحوص عن عبد الله عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال المرأة عورة فإذا خرجت استشرفها الشيطان. And she says, and at-Tirmidhi, he says, yani meaning mentioning in his book, Jami' al-Tirmidhi, that Muhammad ibn Bashar narrated to us, that Amr ibn Asim narrated to us, he said that Hammam narrated to us, that Qatada narrated, that Muwarrik narrated from Abi al-Ahwas, that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, he narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, المرأة عورة فإذا خرجت استشرفها الشيطان. فإذا خرجت استشرفها الشيطان, that the woman is a عورة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in this narration, he said, the woman, المرأة, the woman, عورة, is an عورة, مبتدأ وخبر, المرأة عورة. فإذا خرجت, if she goes out of her house, استشرفها الشيطان, the shaitan will try to lure her and lure others by way of her, to mislead her, to try to use her to draw the attention of the people, and to draw their eyes to look at her, to mislead them and to mislead her. So the word al-awra, as has preceded, is also known as a saw'ah. And the awra, the people of Nar, as they mentioned, kullu ma yustahya min idharihi, everything that is shy that it should be seen, everything that one is shy or feels shameful that it should be that it would be seen or displayed, or that would become exposed to the eyes of others, this is called the awra, yani in the physical sense. But likewise the faults and defects as well of a person are from the awra, the things that he hopes to hide, his shortcomings and faults. But here we're talking about the physical awra. So here, in general, the awra, kullu ma yustahya min idharihi, everything that one is shameful or shy, that it would be seen or be disclosed, or that it would be known or uncovered and revealed. And the people of Nar, as they say, wa asluha, yani asla hadhihi al-kalima min al-aar, wa huwa al-madhamma. This word originally, al-awra, is from the word al-aar. Al-aar, which means al-madhamma, yani something that is shameful and blameworthy. Aar, if it's considered al-aar, this is an aib, this is a fault, and something that is blameworthy, not good. So the awra is something that it should be covered, and something that's blameworthy to be uncovered. This is the point here, and that's why it's called awra. And also that's why it's called saw'ah, the saw'ah, because a person with a sound mind and a clean heart will become upset and dislike for that to be known and to be revealed and to be seen and to be seen. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, "Al-mar'atu awra," that the woman, she's an awra, meaning her whole body is an awra. Meaning her whole body is an awra, meaning that she should cover herself as has proceeded. فَإِذَا خَرَجَتْ إِسْتَشْرَفَهَا الشَّيْطَانِ. So if she goes out, meaning leaving her home, إِسْتَشْرَفَهَا الشَّيْطَانِ, the devil, he will make a istishraf for her, or with her, or by her. So the people of Nar, as they mention about this verb, إِسْتَشْرَفَ, you say in the Arabic language, إِسْتَشْرَفَ يَسْتَشْرِفُ, إِسْتَشْرِفْ إِسْتِشْرَافًا. But what does this mean? In the origin, it means al istishraf, raf'u al basar lil nadari ila shay, wa bastu al kaffi fawqa al hajib. It means that a person, he will lift his eyes to look at something, and he will put his hand across his forehead, and he will extend his hand across his forehead. Like whenever a person, he wants to look at something from a distance or look at it very well, he will stick his hand out on top of his eyebrows. On top of his eyebrows to check something out, to look at something. This is the meaning of this verb. This is the meaning of this verb, istashrafaha shaytan. So this is what shaytan is doing, and he's looking at her in this manner. This is from the interpretation of this narration. Istashrafaha shaytan, that the devil, he will look at her in this manner with intents to mislead her and to mislead others by way of her. وَيُرِيدُ أَن يُغْوِيَهَا وَيُغْوِيَ بِهَا, and he wants to mislead her and lead her astray in misguidance and mislead others by way of her. This is from the interpretation of that. Also another interpretation, istashrafaha shaytan, that the devil, he will make this istishraf with her, yani annahu yuzayyinuha fi nadar ar-rijal. Yuzayyinuha, meaning he will adorn her and make her appear attractive and very beautiful in the eyes of men, yani luring others to look at her. Meaning luring others to look at her. He will use her as a trap to lure the weak-hearted, waliyadhu billah, to lure the weak-hearted and those who have diseases in their heart to look at her and to be deceived by her and to be tried by her and to lust for her and to desire her and to desire her in this manner. Others are tried by way of her, and likewise she as well can be tried in the same manner or in the final outcome of these affairs. So the point now is clear. Al-mar'atu awra, that the woman, she is an awra. The author, she says, hafidhahallah, wa hadithu rijaluhu thiqat. In this narration, the men in the chain are all upright and reliable narrators. Wa sahahahu al-shaykh al-albani fil irwa. And Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he has declared it authentic in his work known as al-irwa, irwa al-ghalil, which is a book of the checking of the narrations that are mentioned in the explanation of Dalil al-Talib. And then the explanation of Dalil al-Talib, a work by Mar'i ibn Yusuf al-Karmi, rahimahullah ta'ala, and there's an explanation for that called Manar al-Sabil. In the explanation, the author, he mentioned a number of narrations establishing his positions in that. And Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he went through that work and he checked all those narrations, and he also has some great commentary on those narrations and the issues discussed in that work, which is a very beneficial work, especially for students of hadith. So he authenticated this narration in that work. وَكَذَلِكَ صَحَّحَهُ الْوَالِدِ فِي الصَّحِيحِ الْمُسْنَدِ rahimahumallah. And also the father, meaning her father, Shaykh Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i rahimahullah, declared it to be authentic as well in his work called As-Sahih al-Musnad, yani with regards to a collection that Shaykh Muqbil rahimahullah had collected of narrations that he had himself also checked and declared to be authentic. So now she says, وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ مُسْلِمْ حَدَّثَنَا إِبْنُ أَبِي عُمَرْ قال حدثنا سفيان عن يزيد ابن كيسان عن أبي حازم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال كنت عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأتاه رجل فأخبره أنه تزوج امرأة من الأنصار فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنظرت إليها؟ قال لا. قال فاذهب فانظر إليها فإن في أعين الأنصار شيئا فإن في أعين الأنصار شيئا. She now mentioned the narration of Imam Muslim, and he mentioned that he says that Ibn Abi Umar narrated to us that he said that Sufyan narrated to us from the narration of Yazid ibn Kaysan from Abi Hazim that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said that I was along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and a man came to him and informed him that he married a woman from the Ansar. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at this time, he said, "Anadharta ilayha? Did you look at her? And did you see her? You married a woman from the Ansar. Did you see her? Did you look at her?" He said, "No." He said, "No, I didn't." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to him, "Go back and look at her. Go back and look at her, because indeed there is something in the eyes of the Ansar." Any of the people of knowledge have mentioned, and Allah knows best, that this is in reference to an issue that was known from the Ansar, or from the women of the Ansar, that they had small eyes. They had a type of smallness in their eyes. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was hoping good for him and her, any that he would see her and be pleased with that, and it would be more hopeful that their marriage would last and remain. That their marriage would last and remain. So before moving on since she mentioned the chain here, there is a narrator narrating from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and his name is Abu Hazm. And his name is Abu Hazm. And this is a kunya. So who is Abu Hazm? Abu Hazm, there's two narrators named Abu Hazm. Both of them narrate on the companions. But one of them narrates on Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. His name is Salman al-Ashja'i. And another one, also named Abu Hazm, he narrates on Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi. His name is Salama ibn Dinar. So if we see in the chain Abu Hazm and he's narrating on Abu Hurairah, then this is Salman al-Ashja'i. And if we see Abu Hazm and he's narrating on Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu, then this is Salama ibn Dinar rahimahumallahu azza wa jal. This is a benefit we used to hear from our Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin hafidhahullahu ta'ala. So now she's mentioning the evidence of this affair. Wa wajhu dilala min al-hadith. And the aspect of evidence from this narration, annaha law lam takun mutahajibatan lama ihtaja أن يذهب إليها لينظر ولا نظر إليها إذا خرجت. There's another mistake here, misprint. The alif should not be there. ولا نظر إليها ولا نظر إليها إذا خرجت. وجه دلالة. This word here, دلالة. You can say it with a كسرة on the دال or a فتحة on the دال. All of them are correct. وجه الدلالة أو وجه الدلالة. Any of the same meaning. وجه الدلالة من الحديث, the aspect of evidence from this narration, أنها لو لم تكن متحجبة لما احتاج أن يذهب إليها لينظر ولا نظر إليها إذا خرجت. This is how you read it, alhamdulillah. So she says the aspect of the evidence here in this narration is that if this woman was not wearing the proper hijab, then there'd be no need for him to go back and look at her, and he would have looked at her whenever she came out of her house. And he would have looked at her whenever she came out of her house. But since that's not possible, now he has to go back and look at her. Because if she came out of her house, he would not see her because she is mutahajjibah. She is covered. And when we're saying here, again, we're discussing the chapter of hijab, not the hijab that needs a hijab that we discussed in our previous classes, that many of the ignorant or the negligent Muslim women think is a hijab. We're referring to the hijab that is legislated and prescribed and pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. This hijab here, she came out of her house, he will not be able to see her, whether she's beautiful or not, or whether her eyes have something in them or not, or if they're small or large or not, or her skin color or not. He will not be able to see these affairs. لِأَنَّهَا تَخْرُجُ مُتَحَجِّبَةً. This is what she's saying. Because she leaves out with the proper hijab on. With the proper hijab on. So therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered her to go back. Order her to go back. So this is the aspect of the evidence that she's mentioning from this narration. حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So now she says, فَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ هُوَ التَّسَتُّرُ. So the obligation upon the woman is to cover herself. التَّسَتُّرُ. يعني أنها تتستر. That she takes the means to cover her adornment and her beauty, as has preceded. إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. Except for that which is apparent from that. Meaning when she leaves her home, she'll wear the proper jilbab. The proper jilbab. And even then, the proper legislative jilbab, there's still an aspect of beauty or adornment that's even not possible to hide. That's not possible to hide. لِمَاذَا؟ لِأَنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ عَوْرَةً. Because the woman, she's an awra. وَالْمَرْأَةُ كُلُّهَا زِينَةً. And the woman in entirety, her whole body from head to toe is beauty and adornment. So therefore, it must be covered. Now she says, بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُنْ وَرَبُّهَا عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَعْلَمُ بِمَصَالِحِهَا وَقَدْ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهَا الْحِجَابَ. And her Lord, the Most High, is more knowledgeable of her best interest and benefit in that which is good for her. And he has made it an obligation, fard, upon her to wear the hijab. To wear the hijab. So she says, وَفِي ذَلِكَ سِيَانَةٌ لَكِ عَنَّ مَفَاسِدِ وَالشُّرُورِ. And in doing this, he wearing the proper hijab, and in doing this, sister, is a preservation and protection from you, from many evils and indecencies and corruption. وَفِيهِ أَيْضًا. And also, in wearing the proper hijab for you, عِفَّةٌ لَكِ is a means of chastity and modesty for you, O sister. فَإِنَّ الْعَفِيفَةَ تَتَمَيَّزُ بِحِجَابِهَا عَنِ الْمَرْأَةِ الْفَاسِقَةِ. فَإِنَّ الْعَفِيفَةَ تَتَمَيَّزُ بِحِجَابِهَا and الْمَرْأَةِ الْفَاسِقَةِ. Because indeed the chaste woman is distinguished by way of her hijab from the lewd and corrupt and the sinful woman, from the woman who is fasiqa. The afifa, the woman who is afifa, the one who is chaste, the one who is pious, the one who is modest, she's distinguished by way of her hijab from the woman who is fasiqah, from the woman who is fasiqah and rebellious and turns away from the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This does not mean that a woman cannot fall into fisq, although she wears a proper hijab, but this is just one of those outward distinguishing traits between the afifat and the fasiqat. Between the afifat and the fasiqat. So this is the point here. وَلَقَدْ عَرَفَ أَعْدَاءُ الْإِسْلَامِ أَنَّ خُرُوجَ الْمَرْأَةِ مُتَبَرِّجَةً بَابٌ كَبِيرٌ مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الشَّرِّ وَالْفِسَادِ. And the enemies of al-Islam, they know. They know, meaning they know without a doubt, that the fact that the woman, she leaves out mutabarrija, and in displaying her beauty, and displaying her adornment, showing herself off, and not covering properly. The enemies of al-Islam, they know that this is a great avenue from the avenues of evil and corruption and indecency. They're aware of these affairs, meaning that she is informing you now, my noble sister, may Allah bless you, that the enemies of al-Islam, they will try to misuse you and use you, and they will try to mislead you to believe that the hijab is no good, or that the legislated hijab is extremism or strict, or that the hijab that some of you may wear is pleasing to Allah. The enemies of al-Islam, they will try to convince the Muslim woman of this affair, to get her to come out of the proper hijab, to come into society where she's tried and where she's a trial for others, in order for the devil to make istishraf biha, to use her and to lure her, and to make her a means of corruption in the society. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. The enemies of al-Islam, they know. They know this affair. They know that this is a great means for the means of corruption. وَأَنَّ بِفَسَادِهَا يَفْسُدُ الْمُجْتَمِعِ. And they also know that if the woman becomes corrupted, then the society will also become corrupted. And they become corrupted and misguided. And at this time, those devils from mankind who are trying to control the people, they will be able to have their hands and to manipulate the society as they like, and to collect wealth and to use the people, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, which is from the aims of the deviant. Which is from the aims of the deviant. So they seek to corrupt the society. Seek to corrupt the society many times in the name of rectifying the society. But in reality, they're seeking to corrupt the society. Like they're trying to say likewise, that the woman, she's free. She can do whatever she wants. Hurriya. They're trying to free the woman from the chains of hijab and from the shackles of these affairs. And this is all falsehood. And they're not trying to free the woman. Rather, they're trying to enslave her to the shackles of the devil and her desires and whims, and to use her for their aims and their objectives. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So we should pay attention, especially you, my noble sisters. فَمِنْ أَجْلِ هَذَا هُمْ حَرِيصُونَ عَلَى أَن تَقْرَعَ الْمَرْأَةُ جِلْبَابَهَا وَحَيَاءَهَا. And for this reason, they are very diligent for the woman to strip off her jilbab, and likewise to strip off her modesty. وحتى من المسلمين من يستنكر حجاب المرأة ويرى أنه تزمت. And even from the Muslims, there are those who dislike or find fault with the hijab of the woman, and they think that it's unnecessary strictness. They think that it's very strict and considered to be unnecessary and harsh. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. From the Muslims, she says, وَمِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْغَزَالِ مُحَمَّدٌ الْضِلِّيلِ. وَمِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْغَزَالِ مُحَمَّدٌ الْضِلِّيلِ. And from those misguided Muslims, and from those deviant Muslims who find fault with the hijab, and they consider it to be unnecessary strictness, those who detest and dislike the hijab. We're saying here the hijab, again, we must understand, we're not just talking about covering your head with a scarf. That's not hijab. We're not talking about just wrapping something around your shoulder. That's not hijab. We're not talking about just dropping something. We're not even talking about covering your head so from head to toe in bright yellow so everybody can see you. We're talking about the proper hijab. They detest the proper hijab. They dislike the legislated hijab. They hate the hijab that's pleasing to Allah. They hate the hijab that's pleasing to Allah. Even from them, the Muslims. From them, the Muslims. From some women, they're women who wear what they consider hijab, but they hate the hijab. And when you talk to them about the proper hijab, their faces ball up and their hearts become hard and their souls become tight and their chest shrinks and they don't like it and they have a problem. And they have a problem. And this is a problem. This is a problem. So from those Muslims that have this problem, a man, his name is Ghazali, Muhammad. She's calling him Al-Dhillil. Al-Dhillil, from Al-Dhalal. Al-Dhalal is misguidance. Al-Dhalal is misguidance. This is called a laqab. This is very blameworthy. A blameworthy laqab. Al-Dhillil. But the laqab can be blameworthy and it can be praiseworthy. On the same scale, we call the greatest of the ummah, after the prophet of this ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. As-Siddiq. You know, so he is of the utmost. He's of the utmost and highest level in truthfulness and honesty in his faith. Radiallahu anhu. So he's known as Siddiq because of the level of truthfulness that he had achieved by the grace and favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. On the contrary, this individual here, Muhammad al-Ghazali, he is al-dhillil. Al-dhillil. And he has reached a level of misguidance with the other billah that is unprecedented. And he's extremely misguided. And from his misguidance is that he detests the hijab and has written works about these affairs. And the people of knowledge, they mention about this individual, he's from Egypt. And he's well known, and he's a Mu'tazili al-Ash'ari. And he has written works about the prophetic narrations. A book name is called Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah, but it's misguidance with the other billah. And she's mentioning some of the people of knowledge who have refuted him. She says, وَلَيْسَتْ هَذِهِ بِأَوَّلِ شَطَحَاتِهِ وَتَنْظُرْ إِنْحِرَافَاتِهِ مِنْ كِتَابِ الشَّيْخِ رَبِيعِ إِبْنِ هَادِي وَالشَّيْخِ صَالِحِ آلِ الشَّيْخِ فِي الرَّدِّ عَلَى الْغَزَالِ حَفِظَهُمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. So she says, this is not from his first deviations. This is not from the first of his deviations. Rather, you should look into his deviations from the book of Shaykh Rabi ibn Hadi, Hafidhullah, and from Shaykh Salih al-Shaykh, Hafidhullah, with regards to the refutation of this man al-Ghazali. This man al-Ghazali. And he's someone who was alive in recent history. And this is someone from Egypt. He's misguided. He was on the creed of the Ash'ariya, the Mu'tazila, denying the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla and other issues. And he was from those who they consider to be the great Islamic thinkers, waliyadhu billah. And he is not, in reality, a great thinker. Rather, he is, as she's saying, al-dhilil, extremely misguided. The people of knowledge have refuted him. She's referring now to a work by Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah, which is entitled Kashfu Mawqif al-Ghazali min as-Sunnati wa ahliha wa naqdu ba'd ara'ihi. And Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah has a work called Exposing the Position of Ghazali from the Sunnah and its people, and criticizing some of his opinions and positions. And also Shaykh Salih al-Shaykh, he has a work likewise, and it's titled Mi'yar li'ilm al-Ghazali fi kitabihi as-Sunnah an-Nabawiyyah, the scale of clarifying the knowledge of Ghazali in his book, As-Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah. So both of these works are refutations of this man and clarification of some of his misguidance. So he's from them. So to not be deceived by him and the likes of him. So she says, فَلَا يُلْتَفَتْ إِلَى قَوْلِ الْمُغَرِّضِينَ وَإِلَى مَنْ يَسْخَرُ بِالْحِجَابِ وَأَهْلِهِ. So therefore do not pay any attention to the view of the biased and those who mock the hijab, and those who mock the hijab, mocking the hijab, again mocking the pure, proper Islamic hijab. As for the hijab that's a fashion statement and the likes like this, then this is not the one that's mocked at. Rather, this is the one that is praised by al-dhillilin, those who are extremely misguided, waliyadhu billah. So they're mocking the hijab. What hijab are they mocking? They're mocking the legislative hijab. As for the hijab that's not legislative, that's extremely deficient and weak, that needs a real hijab to cover it, then this one, they're praising it. Then this one, they're praising it. And this is from the deceptions of the devil and the tricks of the enemies of al-Islam to mislead the Muslim woman in order to mislead her household, to corrupt the society and to weaken the deen, so they can do whatever they like and no one will call to Allah. And no one will call to Allah. And no one will establish the Sunnah because the women are corrupted. Barakallahu fikum. And by the way, yani, I remember now a benefit that I heard from Sheikh Suleiman, and also something that's well known in the history books, that whenever the French, they want to conquer the Muslim lands, they're having problems entering to the Muslim lands and overcoming them. So from the tactics that they used in order to overcome those lands is that they brought lewd women. They brought lewd women and tempted them in this way until some of the men, they fell into the shameful affair and their faith was weakened in this manner. And likewise, some of the women as well, they were tried by that. And this was a means to weaken the borders of the believers and to eventually be able to enter and to have authority over them by using women. by using women. It's dangerous. It's dangerous, sister, that you will be used by the enemies of al-Islam to destroy al-Islam while you think you're freeing yourself and having a good time. Allahu al-musta'an. So she says, فَلَا يُلْتَفَتْ إِلَى قَوْلِ الْمُغَرِّضِينَ فَلَا يُلْتَفَتْ إِلَى قَوْلِ الْمُغَرِّضِينَ وَلَا مَنْ يَسْخَرُ بِالْحِجَابِ وَأَهْلِهِ. So therefore, do not pay any attention to the view or the opinions of the biased and those who mock the hijab and those who wear the proper hijab. Because indeed, فَإِنَّ السُّخُرِيَّةَ بِالدِّينِ وَأَهْلِهِ شَأْنُ الْمُلْحِدِينَ. Because indeed, mocking and laughing at the religion and the people of the religion, and those who establish it properly, this is from the affairs of the atheists. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى. Just as Allah, the Most High, He says in His book, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ إِنْ نَعْفُ عَنْ طَائِفَةٍ مِنْكُمْ نُعَذِّبْ طَائِفَةً بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا مُجْرِمِينَ. And the meaning of this noble verse that she's referring to here is very dangerous, as we have seen before, that the issue of the hijab in the beginning, it was not an obligation, and there was no revelation with regards to that. And then the revelation was revealed, and the obligation was established. And the companions, the women from them, they established that. Likewise, the men as well. They established that upon their women. لأن الرجال قوامون على النساء. So they established that affair. They established that affair, and they established that obligation that was revealed from their Lord. So the point is that this is something that's revelation, legislation, pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's deen. You cannot mock it. You cannot mock it. You cannot laugh at it. You cannot belittle it. You cannot take it lightly. You cannot take it lightly, because Allah, He says, and if you ask them about this, and when people are joking about the religion and the affairs of the deen, then they declare and they claim, we were only talking idly and joking, and we were just playing around. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was it Allah in His ayat? Was it Allah in His proofs, in His evidences, in His verses, in His lessons, in His signs? Was it Allah in His revelation? What is Allah in His deen that you're laughing at, that you're joking with? Are you joking with the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla? قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Are you laughing, joking about Allah and His signs and His messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is this what you're mocking and joking about? لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Do not make any excuse. Make no excuse. You have disbelieved after you had believed. The clarification of the dangers of this affair, to joke about something in the religion, from that the hijab, the proper hijab, to laugh at that, or to mock it, or to belittle it, or to take it lightly, or to take it lightly as something major. Something major could lead a person to disbelief, waliyadhu billah. It could be in itself disbelief, or lead a person to disbelief, waliyadhu billah. So Allah, He says, and if we pardon some of you, any of those who fell into that, then we will punish others amongst you, because indeed they were criminals. Indeed they were criminals. And this story is well known. This story here is well known. So she says now, حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ أَيْضًا أَنَّ السُّخْرِيَةَ بِالدِّينِ وَأَهْلِهِ كُفْرٌ. And also in this verse as well, that mocking the religion and laughing at His people is disbelief. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى. And Allah the Most High, He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَى أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ. Allahu Akbar. She mentions the verses, the beautiful verses in Surah Mutaffifin. And the meaning of which is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions about the criminals. And verily, during the worldly life, those who committed crimes, those criminals, those misguided individuals, and those deviants who disobey their Lord and disbelieve in Him, or disbelieve in their Lord or disobey Him, and turn away from the way of that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those criminals, they used to commit crimes. What did they do? They used to laugh at those who believed. They used to laugh at those who believed. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. Meaning in this worldly life, the criminals and the misguided, the deviant, and those who follow their desires and lusts, and those who have diseases in their hearts, what do they do? They laugh at the believers. They laugh at the believers, they laugh at the men because they have beards, they laugh at the men because they have their pants above their ankles, they laugh at the men because they wear a thobe or izar. They laugh at the men because they lower their gaze, they laugh at the men because they prefer marriage and chastity, and they guard their tongue and their private parts. Alhamdulillah, they have piety in their heart, and they're pure. And so those corrupt and deviant individuals, they laugh at them. They laugh at them. And likewise, the women, they laugh at them. Aren't you hot, sister? Is that not hot when you come outside here in Atlanta, so on and so forth? They laugh at them and they mock. They laugh at them and they mock. This is the affair of the criminals in this life. And whenever they pass by them, they used to wink at one another in mockery. Maybe if they don't say something to them directly, whenever they pass by, the believing male or female, the disbelievers see them going to the streets or to the market, they look at them and wink at one another, laughing in mockery and jest and joking. About them. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَاكِهِينَ. Whenever they return to their own people, they return joking and laughing at them. They return joking and laughing. Did you see those people in the street? What are they doing? What do they look like? Those Muslims, so on and so forth, laughing at them and joking and making a mockery of them. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ. And whenever they see them, meaning whenever those criminals and those disbelievers and those misguided individuals with diseases and their hearts were corrupted, whenever they see the believers, especially the righteous from them, they say, man, these people are misguided. I say, what's wrong with these people? These people are misguided. Why are they wearing those clothes like that? Why does she have her face covered like that? What are they doing prostrating like that? What's going on? They're misguided. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. But Allah, He says, and in the verses after this, وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. But those disbelievers had not been sent as watchers over the believers. فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. But on this day, meaning the day of resurrection, the day that we're waiting for. فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. On this day, the day of resurrection, the believers, they'll be laughing at the disbelievers. How will they be? عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. And they will be on thrones, looking at all things, and looking at their Lord, and likewise looking at one another, and happiness and joy. هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. And are the disbelievers paid fully for what they used to do? Meaning, of course, they will be. So do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. In this life, maybe they're making a mockery. Maybe they're laughing. Maybe they're poking fun. Maybe they're making jokes. Maybe they don't like you. Maybe they don't like you, but that's okay, because we don't like them either. Alhamdulillah. But still, even then, we will not take their rights, and we will not mock back at them. Rather, we will keep it moving and not pay any attention to their mockery. So she says, فَلَا يَعْبَ بِهِمْ فَإِنَّ الْأَقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So do not pay any attention to them, because indeed the final outcome is for the pious and the righteous. Now she says, وَعْلَمِي أَنَّكِ إِذَا ارْتَدَيْتِ الْحِجَابَ لَابُدَّ أَنْ يُسْحَبَ ذَلِكَ نِيَةٌ فِي أَنَّكِ تَقْصِدِينَ بِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَلْبِسِيهِ مِنْ أَجْلِ أَنْ يُقَالْ وَلَا تَلْبِسِيهِ أَيْضًا مِنْ بَابِ الْعَادَاتِ. And you must know, my noble sister, she's giving some very important advice that I was indicating earlier, and you must know, my noble sister, that whenever you wear the hijab, meaning the proper hijab, especially the real hijab, you must know that whenever you cover yourself, sister, that there must be an attention accompanied along with that. There must be an attention accompanied along with that. You must wear the hijab, and in wearing the hijab, there must be an attention along with that. And يَسْحَبَ ذَلِكَ نِيَّةٌ فِي أَنَّكِ تَقْصِدِينَ بِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. That you carry along with you in wearing your hijab and covering yourself, you carry along with you the intention that you're doing this seeking the face of Allah, seeking to see Allah and the pleasure of Allah. You hope to please Allah Azza wa Jal and reach His pleasure and His mercy in the hereafter, and to see His face, His brilliant face. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're doing it for Him alone and no one else. So do not do it so that it will be said that you have hijab. فَلَا تَلْبِسِهِ مِنْ أَجْرِ أَنْ يُقَالْ. Do not wear the hijab so that it will be said, oh yeah, so-and-so wears hijab, or so-and-so hijab is good, or she has the proper hijab, so on and so forth. وَلَا تَلْبِسِهِ أَيْضًا مِنْ بَابِ الْعَادَاتِ. Do not wear it also from the aspect of customs or cultures. Don't just
just do it because the people are doing it, or that's how they do it in your family, or in your tribe, or in your society. Whether you do it for the sake of Allah, it's deen, it's a means for you to draw near to Allah and seek His pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to have His aid and His blessing and His help and His mercy, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So she says, وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ ابْنُ قَيِّمْ رَحِيمَهَ اللَّهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ مَدَارِجَ السَّالِكِينَ أَنَّ لِنِيَّةِ الْعِبَادَةِ مَرْتَبَتَيْنِ. She says in Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he has mentioned in his book مَدَارِجَ السَّالِكِينَ that the intention for worship, it has two levels. الْأُولَى فَصْلُ عَلِبَادَاتِ بَعْضِهَا عَنْ بَعْضٍ. The first one is to distinguish the worship, the actions of worship, one from another. The first aspect or level of the intention is to distinguish the actions of worship one from another. وَالثَّانِيَ إِخْرَاجُ الْعِبَادَاتِ عَنِ الْعَادَاتِ. And the second level or aspect of the intention is to take the issues of worship away from the customs. You need to distinguish between the two. It's not a custom, it's an action of worship. This is the point. It's not a custom, it's an action of worship. Many people, because of heedlessness and negligence, they do actions of worship, which initially are great means to seek the pleasure of Allah and to obtain His blessing and His help and His aid. They are heedless of these affairs and they wind up doing them like their customs and cultures. They're just moving and going through the motions. Or sometimes even in Salat, sometimes even in Ramadan, and sometimes even in Hajj, they're just going through the motions and their heart is negligence, attached to the worldly life and thinking of the dunya the whole time and not remembering Allah except for a little. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. This is from the attributes of the hypocrites. So the negligent and the heedless, they turn the actions of worship into customs and everyday actions that they're doing, like they're moving down the road and changing from the right lane to the left lane, or like they're getting on the highway, or they're eating chicken or choosing to have potatoes over green beans and the likes like this from the everyday affairs. They're heedless. So the intention distinguishes these affairs. So wearing the hijab is a legislated action of worship, an obligation that is a right from the rights of Islam that must be established for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It must be done sincerely, seeking the pleasure and the reward of Allah alone, and it must be done properly according to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like every other action of worship, it has conditions inwardly and outwardly. My noble sister, the hijab is ibadah. It was revealed from the heavens from your Lord. It must be done sincerely for the sake of Allah in accordance to the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not according to the desires or the whims or the ways of the people and the customs and the cultures in the lands, rather according to the sunnah of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sincerely for Allah Azza wa Jal. So now she mentions some affairs. She says, وَالْعَجَبُ مِمَّنْ تَسْتَحْيِ مِنْ لُبْسِ الْحِجَابِ فَأَقُولُ لَهَا. And it's so amazing. I'm so amazed from the one, she's shy to wear the hijab. Shy to wear the hijab. And I emphasize again, and Allah knows best, we're talking about the proper hijab. We're not just talking about a woman covering her head or wrapping something on her body. La, we're talking about the real hijab. And it's amazing how some of them, those women, they're shy to wear the real hijab, the proper hijab, especially after they learn and they know. And she says, فَأَقُولُ اللَّهَ. So I say to her, أَتَسْتَحْيِينَ مِنَ الْخَلْقِ وَلَا تَسْتَحْيِينَ مِنْ رَبِّكِ. Are you afraid? Are you shy from the creation and you're not shy from your Lord? Are you shy from the creation and you're not shy from your Lord? وَهُوَ خَلِقُكِ وَرَازِقُكِ. And He is your creator and He is your provider. He is your creator and He is your provider. فَطَرْفُ لِينَ أَمْرَ خَلِقِكِ مِنْ أَجْلِ الْحَيَاءِ مِنْ النَّاسِ. So you refuse and you reject the command of your creator because you're shy from the people. أَلَا تَسْتَحْيِ أَنْتُوذِهِرِي زِينَتَكِ لِلْرِجَالِ الْجَانِبِ. Are you not shy to show your adornment and your beauty to the strange men? وَتَسْتَحْيِ مِنَ النَّاسِ إِذَا ارْتَدَيْتِ الْحِجَابِ الشَّرْعِ. But you're shy from the people if you wear the legislative hijab. You're not shy from the men. You're not shy from showing your beauty and your adornment. People looking at you left and right. Oh, look at that. Well, look at that. Any of the things that they may say whenever they see the figure of a woman or the beauty of a woman and the adornment of the woman and the fashion of the hijab or the other bilah, the so-called hijab that needs a hijab. Yeah, you're not shy. You're not shy from displaying this affair. And for the people, the strange men seeing you on the street, the disbelievers, and the believers, all of them alike, you're not shy from them seeing you, but you're shy. You're shy from the people to see you wearing the legislative hijab. She says, فَالَّتِي يَكُونُ مَوْقِفُهَا هَكَذَا مِنْ الْحِجَابِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِحَالِ إِمَانِهَا. So the woman, the one who her stance towards the proper hijab is like this, Allah knows best about the condition of her faith. Allah knows best about the condition of her faith. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ, because indeed Allah, He says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنًا, referring to faith. It's not for a believing man, not for a believing man, nor a believing woman. إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ, because it's not for a believing man, nor a believing woman, that whenever Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordain a commandment, that they have any choice in their affair. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا, and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he has gone clearly astray. ويقول, and Allah, He says, فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. I swear, He says, no, I swear by your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they will not believe until they make you a judge in every affair that they dispute in amongst themselves, and then that they find no hardship or problem in their heart, in their soul, whenever you have made a judgment, and they submit in complete submission. So she says, وَبَعْضُ النِّسَاءِ يَرْتَدِينَ الْحِجَابِ الشَّرْعِ لَكِنَّهُنَا أَصْلَحَهُنَّ اللَّهُ يَتَسَاهَلْنَا. And some of the women, they wear the legislative hijab, but may Allah rectify their affairs, they are negligent and they take it lightly. فَيَكْشِفْنَا وَجُوهَهُنَّ إِذَا لَمْ يَجِدْنَا رِجَالًا فِي الطَّرِيقِ. So they uncover their faces if they don't see any men on the pathway, on the road. فَإِذَا رَأَيْنَا رِجَالًا يُغَطِّينَ وُجُوهَهُنَّ. And whenever they see some men, they hurry up and they cover their faces. وَهَذَا لَا يَصْلُحُ. And this is not proper. فَرُبَّمَا أَنَّكِ لَا تُغَطِّينَ وَجْهَكِ إِلَّا وَقَدْ رَأَوْكَ. Because maybe you are not able to cover your face except after they already saw you. فَتَقِ لَهَا وَسُونِي إِرْضَكِ عَنَ الرِّجَالِ وَتَسْتُرِي. So fear Allah, sister, and protect your honor and reputation from these men, and cover yourself. And cover yourself. وَقَدْ كَانَ مِنْ أَدْعِيَةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الصَّبَاحِ وَالْمَسَاءِ اللَّهُمَّ اسْتُرْ عَوْرَاتِي وَآمِنْ رَوْعَاتِي. And indeed, it was from the supplications of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the morning and in the evening that he would say, and this supplication, اللَّهُمَّ اسْتُرْ عَوْرَاتِي وَآمِنْ رَوْعَاتِي. Oh Allah, cover my awrah. Cover my awrat, any of my shameful parts. Cover, you know, the Prophet, he would ask for this to be covered, for Allah to cover that his shame would not, that his awrah and that which is he does not like to be seen or to be disclosed or to be revealed, that it would be covered, that Allah, he would cover it from the beautiful names of Allah, As-Satir. And some of the scholars, they pronounce it As-Sitir, and others they say, no, it's As-Satir. In any case, it has the meaning of Allah, He is As-Satir, the one who covers the faults of the people. We ask Allah to cover our faults. Allahumma asturna bi sitrika al-jameel. We ask Allah to cover us with His beautiful covering, and to not expose our awrat, and to not expose our faults and our mistakes, and to cover our sins. Wa amin ru'ati, and make my frightful affairs safe, and He make me safe any from that which I fear. So the point is, this is from the supplications of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he would say daily. Maybe some of us, we say it daily, but then we uncover our own awrah whenever we go out of our house. Wa li'adhi billah. Allahumma astur awrati wa amin ru'ati. We have to learn these supplications and learn their meanings, and then say them daily and strive to implement them in our life by taking the means. She says, أَخْرَجَهُ أَبُو دَاوُدٍ مِنْ حَدِيثِ بْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. And this narration is narrated by Abu Dawood from the hadith of Ibn Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. And then she moves on to some more topics and discussion with regards to the issue of the hijab, and this chapter continues. And we suffice with that this afternoon. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.